Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Church, I'm excited to announce that today we do have a special guest speaker. He is a certified life coach, an author, and lead pastor of Salt Church International in Las Vegas. He is known for 8 seasons in the NFL with the San Diego Chargers, Detroit Lions, Washington Redskins, and Denver Broncos. He travels internationally to speak, and now he's here with us. So church, let's give a warm welcome to Vernon Fox.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning, VBF. How you all doing? Doing good? Awesome. Awesome. Well, it is a tremendous blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be here. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to serve. Amen. And really to be back in the Central Valley, because I am a Bulldog born, Bulldog bred, going to be a Bulldog to the day I'm dead. Amen. So spent my years at Fresno State, and as mentioned, had the blessed opportunity to go on from there and play almost a decade in the NFL, which was a childhood dream of mine, and truly grateful to God. More than anything, I am grateful for the platform and opportunity to share God's word. I am what they call an ambivert. You might not have heard of that before, right? We've all heard of introverts and extroverts. Well, I'm like the most introverted extrovert you'll ever meet in your life. So this is the most talking that I ever do. Honestly, I'm really a reserved person, and so you could have never told me that God would call me to a platform like this where I would be sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ all across this world and having the opportunity to speak into the lives of other people, because I am the kind of person, to be honest with you, when I get on an airplane, I put on AirPods, and there's not always something playing on the other side. I just don't want the person on side to be talking to me. And so, you know, that's my way of hiding, my defense mechanism. But when I have this opportunity, it's truly the Holy Spirit that empowers me and gives me the opportunity, amen, to operate in this capacity. I want to thank the VBF family and just affording me this opportunity to come and to share on today. And here's the beauty of it as well, because I've had opportunities to speak a lot of places, and, you know, a lot of times they just want you to come and, you know, tell them some good football stories. And they were very, very intentional about saying, hey, listen, we want to hear your story, but we want to hear the gospel. Amen. And so for me, that was just right up my alley, because I am a preacher by nature. And so I'm going to give you the word. Amen. Amen. And I believe this is a Bible-based place, right? Valley Bible Fellowship. And you guys love the Word of God. I want to just show you a little bit the most important people in the world to me. You'll see there on the screen my family. This is my clan. This is my tribe. Amen. My wife of 18 years. And, you know, we got two what we call nuggets. So those are our nuggets. We got a two-piece nugget. And we got a 16-year-old and we got a 13-year-old. And truth be told, we actually wanted a three-piece nugget. But after we got nugget number two, I was like, no way. If we have another one like him, I'm like, you guys are going to be on your own. So we shut down the fryers and we finished at two. And it would be an absolute miracle if God sends another one. But I do thank God for them. They are my everything, and this is really why I do what I do. And I show that picture for a couple of reasons. You know, one in particular is because they do mean the world to me, and I want people to see it. But secondly, you know, it just softens you guys up, and then you can receive my message a little more. Amen. I want to share a resource with you all today. I brought along with me, God gave me a game plan and a book that I released during the pandemic, amen. And so the time that we were all sitting at home, God kind of spoke in my ear and whispered some things. And so I wrote a 21-day devotional, amen, and it takes you on a journey of faith in helping to develop and to build your faith habit, amen. And so that resource is out there in the lobby, and so if you would be so kind to stop and grab that, I believe it'll be a blessing to you. But I want to go ahead and jump into the word on today. They told me that I am the first guest speaker that will get 2 full hours, and so... Okay, yeah, I'm joking. And nobody got up, right? I was expecting somebody to be like, never mind, we're cool. All right, so I'm going to be respectful of the time that I've been given, but I do believe God wants to speak something to us. And so we're going to jump into the word, and then we'll go before God in a quick word of prayer. I want to put before you Exodus chapter 13, and there are just two scriptures that I want to read into your hearing, and you'll see it there on the screen as well. But I believe there's a unique spin on this that God wants to share something with us. And again, as we go, I'll share a bit of my story that goes along with this. And so starting at verse 17 there, it says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with battle, they might change their minds and return back to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Listen, today we want to talk about the blessing in the block. The blessing in the block. And I know that may not make sense to you now, but if you're patient with me, I promise you I'll take you down this road. And I'll share with you how God blesses us even through the things that he blocks from us. Let us pray quickly. Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for your presence that is in this place. For we know, God, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And so we do recognize your presence here, and it is in your presence that there is fullness of joy. It's in your presence that we can get and gain everything that we need. So meet us here in this space. Thank you for this amazing worship team that has ushered in your spirit, God, and I pray, Lord, that you would just be with us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we all said amen. Amen, amen. I don't know if there are any other control freaks in the room, but I will admit I am a control freak. I tend to want to have control of everything that goes on around me. I struggle when I can't really see my way clear and I don't really understand exactly what's up ahead. Like, if you invite me somewhere, I'm going to map it out before I get there. I'm going to pull it up in my phone. I'm going to see how long it takes me to get there. I'm going to see what's the best route to get there. I'm going to ask you how many people are going to be there, who's going to be there, who's... I want to know everything before I get there. And that's a bit of my struggle of having to have control. And one of the things that I've learned about serving God is that he does not let us control a thing. God actually orchestrates and directs our path. I actually am a firm believer that there are one or two things that are always going on in the life of a believer. One being that God either ordains a thing or he allows a thing. In other words, there are some things that God is going to orchestrate in our lives, and it's for a purpose that we may not always understand. The other thing is that maybe there are some things that happen to us that don't seem like they're a part of the plan, but you got to know that it has to check off with God. That even if it happens and it may not be the most opportune or the most beneficial thing to us, that God will allow it and it can still be utilized for his purpose and will in our lives. And that's difficult to understand from time to time. The truth of the matter of what I've learned is that I'm actually better off if God runs the show and not me. Because I tend to make bad decisions and, you know, I think I know what I'm doing and I'm chasing my ambitions and I'm running after all of these things. And then I realize, like, that probably wasn't the best thing. And I have to retrace my steps and make a couple of U-turns. But when we allow God to follow or allow God to lead out and we follow him, we don't really have to worry about running into those types of issues. This is what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is talking about when it says, trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean upon our own understanding. That when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will direct our paths. See, that's beauty for me. Because my understanding tells me one thing, God's knowledge and understanding says something totally different. When you talk about what it means to be blocked, I want to kind of like, you know, express this really quickly, because when I looked up the word block, to be blocked means to prevent access. The first thing that came to my mind was basketball. I know I'm short, and I know that you know that I played football, but I used to be able to hoop pretty good. Operative word, used to be, right? Because I'm getting proven daily that I'm not 23, I'm 43, and my body keeps telling me that. About 8 months ago, I was out playing flag football with my son, and my Achilles said, "Hey, buddy, I got to show you something." And I was, you know, having surgery about 3 days later. So I'm learning that my body's a little bit different. So I used to play basketball, and I remember growing up, you know, when you block a shot, they would say it's a rejection. You guys remember that? And some of you that are a little bit older, you remember they actually used to say we packed a shot. I don't even understand why we use that word. But when you reject something or you block something, it means that you prevent access. You stop it from going in the direction that it intends to go. And the beauty is that when God blocks things from us, he does it with a purpose in mind. But if you're a control freak like me, you don't like it when he blocks certain things in our lives, because we want unrestricted access into whatever it is that we're aiming at. Look at this picture here of this puzzle that you'll see on the screen. So that's my tribe again, right? And I pride myself every Christmas in giving my wife like a customizable cool gift. Every Christmas, like, I aim to create at least one cool thing. I give her like this calendar every year, and it has all of these personalized pictures in there and scriptures and all of this stuff. And a couple of years ago, I had this puzzle made. And it was a family project. It was 110 pieces. And I remember sitting down with my family and saying, "Hey, we're all going to put this puzzle together." And in my house, our family, everybody kind of has their own lane and personality. And in a lot of ways, my son and I are the same in terms of, you know, both being kind of ambiverts. And my wife and my daughter are extroverts, like, times 10. And then you got my daughter, who's really ambitious and driven, and so both of us are like crazy, just chasing after stuff. And then my wife and my son are a little more reserved and calculated. And so, unfortunately, one night my daughter and I were down in the kitchen and everybody else was upstairs, and we were like, "Let's put the puzzle together." And it was supposed to be a group project. But her and I sat down and we start putting this puzzle together. And one of the things that I understood, if you look, there's like a lot of like empty space, like white pieces. And, you know, it's easy when you can kind of see what goes where. And I promise, as we were working on this puzzle, I'm like, "They left pieces out." I was getting frustrated. I'm like, "I promise this piece is not here." But what I realized is that every piece is a part of the puzzle that helps you realize what piece comes next. And so if you can get the corners in, if you can get, you know, the faces in, then you'll start to figure it out. And what this started revealing to me is this is how our lives are, is that it's like puzzle pieces. And the truth of the matter is that there are parts of our lives that we don't necessarily understand when we're going through them. It just kind of happens. And then the next piece comes, and then all of a sudden it starts coming together. And I like to call it the power of hindsight. When you look back, you start recognizing, "Oh, that's why this piece was there. That's why I met that person. That's why God did this for me or took me here." And so this puzzle of our lives starts coming together. But the beauty is this, is that although we don't know the end of the puzzle, we know what it's supposed to look like, but as we're working on it, we're struggling through that. But God is a God that understands the beginning from the end. The Bible tells us in the Greek that he's the Alpha and the Omega, meaning he's the beginning and the end of all things. And my mind would tell me this, that if God's the beginning of a thing and the end of a thing, he might as well be the middle of it as well, right? It just makes sense, because God understands where the starting point is. He understands where the ending point is. And so what that also means is that he orchestrates everything in between. The Bible references and says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he starts the story, he ends the story, and sometimes we can't always see how this story is supposed to unfold. But the reason why God is the master orchestrator, why he's the master potter, is because he has a vantage point that we don't have. that we only see to the hill, but he sees over the hill. Like, we only see to the corner, he sees around the corner. So he knows what's there, he knows what's on the other side. And that's part of the reason why God blocks us and restricts certain access so that he can protect us at times that we don't necessarily understand. When you look at this particular text that we opened up today in the book of Exodus, you have this guy by the name of Moses, which many of us have heard of him before, right? He's the guy in the Prince of Egypt. He's the one that put the staff in the water and the Red Sea parted. And God is using him to lead his people out of bondage for 400 years in the land of Egypt. And Moses is what they call unqualified. We got any other unqualified people in the room? I would put both of my hands up and levitate if I could, because I'm totally not qualified to be standing up here, but God just chooses to use us, amen? And so he uses this guy, we can clap about that, amen? He chooses to use this guy by the name of Moses, who actually doubts his own self. He says, it was kind of like that in the Bible, right? I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not the one that you want to use. He started figuring out all of the reasons why he wasn't qualified to do what God was calling him to do. And every single time, God gave him a resource. He gave him validation as to why he was his choice. And so what we understand about this guy by the name of Moses is that God calls him to go in and he wants him to be the one that leads this people out of Egypt. Now, the thing about these people is that they had adapted a mindset, much like us, right? Through our experiences, our exposures, our childhoods, our upbringings, all of the things that we experience in life, they create the lenses by which we see life. And so all of us have unique vantage points. Well, these people had gone through 400 years of bondage, and so you can imagine they had the mindset of slaves. They were just used to being bound. They were used to being under the control of someone else. And so as they say, you could take them out of Egypt, but it was hard to take the Egypt out of them. They just had a mindset. And they struggled. And so the thing that comes with a bad mind at times can lead to a bad heart. And the truth is that we must detox our mindsets so that we can have the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2 tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds to be made new again, to shift our thinking. And it is when our minds are changed that it can change our lives. Because the Bible tells us, again, that our hearts can be disrupted by the way that our minds operate. In other words, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we allow those things that come into our minds to resonate in our hearts, then we start living our lives based upon what our mind tells us. And so we can have very negative thinking. And this is what I love about God is that he says that we can take every thought captive and make it obedient unto Christ. In other words, we can arrest thoughts before they have the opportunity to get into our hearts. And God says to the people of Israel in Ezekiel, he says, listen, I understand what you've been through and I understand that it's affected your heart. And so not only am I going to give you a new heart, he says, I'm going to take out your heart of stone and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh so that you can feel again. He says, but I'm also going to put my spirit inside of you. It's an amazing thing that God does not only for them, but he does for us. And so in verse 17, when we look at the value of this scripture in Exodus, it says that when Pharaoh let the people go, so eventually he decides he's going to let God's people go with Moses. And he says when he let the people go, he didn't lead them on the road through the Philistine country, although that was shorter. So to give you a little bit of backdrop and understanding of the Philistine country and to understand who the Philistines were, if you ever heard the story of David and Goliath, Goliath was a chief Philistine. These were a fighting people. The Bible said that Goliath had been raised from a child as a warrior. And so these people were, as we say on the streets, they were about that life, right? They wanted to fight. These were a fighting people that would defeat you at all costs. And so God, having the understanding of knowing that if they go down this path where they're going to enter into this land of these fighting people, they're going to be overtaken. God looked ahead and understood what this situation would look like if they were able to take the shortest route. So here's where things get sticky. Because for us, the shortest distance between two points is always what? A straight line. Like, why would I go here, go there, go over there just to get right there when I could just go this way? And the interesting thing for me, when I read this scripture that stood out for one of the first times in my life, is that naturally, when you see the story of Moses and leading Israelites out, and they get to the Red Sea, it says that he sticks his staff in the water as God commanded, and it rises up, and they walk through on dry land. To me, that sounded like a shortcut. I'm like, oh, okay. So God must have saw a shortcut, like, hey, we'll just take you through the water and get you there quicker. But the truth of the matter was, that was actually the long route. And I'm like, okay, but God, why would you not take them on the shortest path? Because again, us control freaks, we don't want any type of opposition. We don't want to deal with anything that is not just direct access into where our hearts tell us that we want to go and where we want to be. And so when it's saying that this was actually shorter, this is showing me that God, for whatever reason, chose to block their access. And when we get blocked, it doesn't feel like a good thing, right? I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not one of those people. So in the Bible, when Paul says, I've learned what it means to be content, I haven't quite learned that yet. It makes me happy that he says, I learned. If he just says, I'm content, I would struggle with that. So it means that it's a learned characteristic. And I'm still learning at 43. I don't know how to be content or patient. I got some other people that are honest in here, right? I believe in being real, revealing, exposing, authentic, and legitimate, right? I can't be fake. I got to tell on myself. And I struggle with contentment. I don't know. I always look at contentment like complacency, but there is a distinct difference. And so what I'm learning is that God blocks us for a certain reason. He oftentimes blocks us for protection. They had no idea that if they went the shortest route, that there would be a fight waiting for them that they didn't have the capacity to win, that they didn't have the strength to win. As a matter of fact, the second part of that scripture in 17 says, God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Have you ever had so many battles in your life that you feel like, I can't take another one? Like one more battle and I just give up. I'm done with it. Yeah. And that's what God knew about them that they didn't even know about themselves. That had they come face to face with the Philistines, they would have just said, never mind, let's go back to Egypt. They were trying to go back anyway. They were complaining every 2 days, like, hey, man, why didn't you just leave us there? At least we had food, at least we had water. They were arguing every single day and complaining, and it's part of the reason that kept them out of the promised land. But what God understood is that if I block them, it's for their greater good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13, God says, I won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Because God understands our capacity, God protects us. I have a daughter and I'm teaching her to drive, and I'd be an idiot to just give her the keys and say, go ahead, have at it. She's not mature enough, or does she have enough knowledge in order to go out there and to be on her own. And so I guide her through the process until I feel comfortable enough to know that she's prepared and has a license and can go out on her own. And that's what God does to us. Even when we feel like we're ready, like, God, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, and God continues to block our access, but it's for a reason greater than we understand. Verse 18 there says, God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Interestingly enough, he takes them the desert road. The desert is a desolate, barren, dry, and a difficult place. I struggle with dry places. James chapter 1 tells us that we can count it joy when we face trials of many types, that there is actually a benefit to us going through these rough patches, that it builds perseverance, that it builds faith, that we can be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. Resistance is a good thing. As an athlete, when I lift weights, resistance training made me stronger. It built muscles. So in the moment, while it felt hard, it was something that was actually good for me. The end of that verse says they were ready for battle, at least they thought they were. And we can think that we're ready for something that we're not quite ready for. And God in his omnipotence, and that's just a big word for saying that he's all powerful, that he understands all things, that God is in control of everything. And with that type of ability and knowledge, he has the ability to make the right choices for us. I want to, obviously, the end of the story, we know that they got through. And here's the other thing that was cool about that story is that not only did them going through the Red Sea end up being a blessing to them, but it also blocked them from their enemies. Because their enemies came in chasing after them, and God drowned them away and killed off all of their enemies and everything that was fighting against them. So God had dual purpose in why he chose to block them. And I want to share how God has blocked some things in my life that ended up being a blessing. You hear that I played in the NFL for 8 years, and everyone claps about that, and it's such an amazing thing. But what most people don't understand is how much of a struggle that it was. You see, growing up, I was always one of the best people on my team. When they were picking teams, oh man, I was like always one of the first people picked. Every team I was ever on, I was an MVP, one of the best. Even at Fresno State, I was a two-time all-conference, first-team all-conference, defensive MVP, best defensive back at a time. All of these great things were happening for me. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I experienced rejection and basically being told I wasn't good enough when I sat in front of the TV for 2 days and didn't get drafted into the NFL. I was told I'd be a third or fourth round draft pick. We had the best Fresno State team, in my opinion, ever, with David Carr right here in Bakersfield. We had all of these guys on the team. David's the number one overall pick. We get like 7 or 8 guys drafted, and I'm the guy that's left out. I didn't understand it. And I couldn't understand why God would block that access. And when I finally got my opportunity, the San Diego Chargers, I got a handshake and an opportunity, not a signing bonus. I got nothing. They didn't even know my name. Like, when I got there, they were calling me 36. I'm like, bro, I got a name. Then they chose to call me Foxy. I'm like, all right, whatever. And so I'm 6th string, shortest guy at my position. Everything that could say you don't have a chance was pretty much my reality. I'm the 96th guy on a roster of 96. Last guy signed. I get signed 2 days after the draft. I'm like looking for a job at that point. Don't even want to play football anymore. And God walks me into a situation, and one day I'm sitting in a chapel service, and I'll never forget, the chaplain says, you have to work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God. I'm like, wow. And for me, that was a wake-up call. You know why? Because I was one of the most prideful people you had ever met. I thought that all of my success was because of me. And you know why God blocked the access? Because he needed me to know that it wasn't me, but it was him, the one that gave me every gift, the one that gave me the ability, the one that blessed me with the favor and the opportunity. And for the first time, I was humbled to my knees, and I realized if this is going to happen, it's going to be God and God alone. Amen. And so I saw myself go from 6th string to 5th string, from 5th string to 4th string, 4th string to 3rd string, and I'm actually fighting for a spot on this team. In 4 months, they go from 96 to 53, and I'm actually in the running to get a job on this team. And I'll never forget, I make the team, which is a childhood dream from 7 years old, and the first game happens, and the guy that's in front of me, he gets injured, and I go in and I play the game, and on the plane ride coming back home from Cincinnati, the head coach walks up to me and he says, hey, he's injured and you're up. I'm like, what does that mean? Am I fired? He's like, no, you're up. You'll be starting now. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? 4 months ago, I was ready to quit football forever. last guy signed to this roster, and you're telling me I'm going to be a starter in the NFL? And on September 15, 2002, 1:15 in the afternoon, I'm standing on the sideline of Qualcomm Stadium, and the jets are flying over, and the culmination of the national anthem is going forward, and I'm standing there with tears in my eyes, and I'm looking up to God, and I'm saying, is this real? And I look across the field, and on the other side of the field, we're facing off against the Houston Texans, and you guys know who the number one overall pick is. On the front of the Sports Center, my former college teammate, David Carr, he's standing there, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, yo, he was first, I was last, and we have the same opportunity because of you, God. I picked him off, by the way, in that game. But to make everything make sense, God showed me there was a blessing in the block. Because if I had let you get what you wanted, the way you wanted it for all the wrong reasons. You wanted to be rich, you wanted to be famous, you wanted to have all of the money, and guess what? If I had given that to you in that time in your life, in your level of maturity, in your level of pride, it would have ruined you. You would have never been the man of God that I called you to be, because ultimately you weren't created for football. You were created to preach my gospel. Amen. And that wouldn't have happened if God hadn't blessed me through the block. Listen, I want to pray for you all. I'm grateful for this opportunity yet again. But I want to pray for you because there's somebody sitting here today, and you may be feeling like, man, I just feel blocked. And rejection doesn't feel good, right? Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to continue to feel like I'm not making progress and things aren't working the way that I want it to work out. But I want to admonish and encourage you today to lean upon God and trust His direction, that God won't steer you wrong. That even if you're facing a block in your life, that there is a blessing on the other side of that that's for your greater good. Because God tells us that all things will work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Bow with me. Father God, we thank You for this day, for this opportunity. God, we thank You for Your word that is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that cuts through us, that divides, that reads our hearts, that changes us from the inside out. I thank You for these people that are here on today, God, and I pray, Lord, that You would encourage that one that is discouraged. I pray, God, that You would help us all, God, to understand that You are guiding our lives, that it's not on autopilot, that You haven't fallen asleep at the wheel, that You are controlling all things, and that You have our purpose and destiny in mind, which is to give You glory in the end. God, I thank You for each and every one that's here. Encourage their hearts, bless them, keep them, guide them into all truth. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's give it up. Let's give it up one more time for Vernon. You know, it's funny because the people that needed that message the most don't want to receive it because they're control freaks. So, just wanted to say, if you made a decision today to give your life to Christ, come up and talk to one of these prayer people. Besides that, hey, happy summer. Go barbecue. Have fun, guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.